Our team for leading us so well tonight. Thank you, team. I'm excited to worship with all the men this weekend at the Contend Conference as we sing that song and experience that weekend together. So fellas, if you haven't signed up yet for the men's conference, we want to see you there. Well, welcome to any guests or visitors. My name is Bo. I was up here earlier, didn't introduce myself. I need to learn from Jairo, but my name is Bo, and I'm the lead pastor of our Fusion community. Glad that you are all here with us. To any guests or visitors, maybe you're here for the first time tonight, welcome. We hope you feel invited and embraced, and we'd love to help you get connected. I have on my note, say something about Mother's Day. I already said something about Mother's Day, so what I'll say now is, if you haven't called your mom yet today, after service, give your mom a call. She wants to hear from you and tell her happy Mother's Day. Yeah. I'm excited to be continuing in our series tonight, Running with the Giants, where we are looking at just giants from the faith, giants from Scripture, and learning from them. Because, you know, it's to our benefit that we learn from those who are better at something than we are, right? That's just wisdom. It's wisdom to be able to recognize when somebody is better at something or has more experience at something than you do, and to be able to learn from that person. I think it's a sign of wisdom and maturity. I am a Flores, which means we tend to burn hot as a people. We get excited about something in my family, and when we get excited, we are really, really excited about this thing. When an idea takes root in a Flores mind, it is green lights all the way once the idea is in there. We actually have a phrase for it. We call it a Flornado. It's a thing in my family that my wife, who married into the Flores, and my brother-in-law, who married into the Flores family, they actually talk all the time. They'll be like, oh no, we got a level 5 Flornado happening right now. Meanwhile, my sister and I are like working each other up. We're like, we got to get these Les Mis tickets right now. They're on presale. Get them now. We like get very excited. It's like all systems go about this thing. When I was 29 years old, almost 10 years ago, I sent myself into a little Flornado approaching my 30th birthday when I decided that I was going to run a marathon before my 30th birthday. I was talking to my sister about it. I was like, hey, I've been thinking about a marathon. She's like, you should do it. I was like, I should do it. And so I registered and paid for a marathon all within about 15 minutes. I then told my wife, hey, I'm going to do a marathon, which is not the right order to do that in, by the way. But I'm like, I'm going to do this marathon. And so I let her in, which is not the ideal way to do it. The real problem, though, wasn't how I let my wife, Blake, know. The real problem is I'm not a runner at all. I've never been a runner. I actually hate to run. But the idea hit me that this would be a good thing, and so I was all in. And so I started running. Slowly and poorly, I started running. I got a little training app on my phone and would go out there, do my little 1, 2, 3, 4 mile run. Started building up some miles, started doing these runs. And as I increased in miles, I learned all sorts of things about running, like the importance of good footwear. I had a few runs in some bad shoes, and my feet totally paid the price. I learned you don't want to eat a big Chipotle burrito before like an 8 mile run. You don't want that. I'll tell you just that. That's free right there. But I'll never forget one particular run when I was at the Rose Bowl, and I was just absolutely struggling in this run. I was dying out there. I was like, I set a goal about 100 miles out, and I was like, that's as far as I run, and then I quit this run. I quit marathon training, and I quit running for the rest of my life. I was going to quit altogether. It was just terrible. My legs hurt. My lungs hurt. My feet weighed 1,000 pounds each. It was not pretty. So I was just struggling out there. And then this man, who was clearly a runner, came just like galloping past me, right? And I just remember looking at him and thinking like, I don't look anything like that when I run. There was just this cadence to his stride. And he was so light on his feet, and he had the right shorts and the footwear and all. And I could just tell this guy was just a runner. And for him, it just looked effortless, which is not how it looked for me. I was like walking through quicksand. And almost without realizing it, I just began to copy him. I was like 10 yards behind him, and I just began to mimic his motions. I began to run the way that he was running. I began to imitate his style. I began to imitate even his pace. And as I copied this guy who was a much better runner than I am, I found myself running better and running faster and running further. And it actually changed the entire process of running for me. And so for the next couple of weeks, whenever I went to the Rose Bowl and started running, I would find somebody who was a better runner than I am. And I would just kind of follow them, not in a creepy way, just in an informative way. And I would just learn from them and mimic them as they went through their run. And that's what we're doing in this series, Running with the Giants. Scripture gives us hundreds of stories of people who ran their race so well that it's to our benefit that we learn from them and that we copy their running style into our lives. Our guiding verse from this series is from Hebrews, which tells us that because we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we need to throw off every hindrance that entangles us and run with endurance the race that lies before us. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I know you're like, it's not Christmas. Why are we talking about Mary? You can talk about Mary outside of Christmas as well. We're going to learn that tonight. And we're going to learn that key moments with God can change everything for us if we respond well to those moments, as we're going to see that Mary did. Would you pray with me as we prepare to look at God's word? So, Lord, we're grateful for another opportunity to gather together as a community, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship your name and to learn from your word. So God, I pray that as we look at the life of your mother, Mary, Jesus, that through your word and by your spirit, would you speak to us? Teach us about how to respond to these key God moments that you're going to bring us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. On your way in, you should have received a bulletin that looks like this. There will be some verses and some points for you to follow along and fill out through our time together. I want to encourage you to do that. Now, we don't know a ton about Mary, in particular her life before becoming pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit and giving birth to the Savior. She was likely from Nazareth, a small, unimpressive little village in the Galilee area of Israel. She was probably a teenager based on the fact that she was engaged and that she was still a virgin, as the Bible tells us. So she's this young woman, because at that time, being a teenager who could bear children meant you were a woman. She had her whole life ahead of her, and she had a ton to lose, especially through an unplanned pregnancy that her fiance was not a part of. Very risky was this situation. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, and here's what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" Now, we don't know exactly what was going on and happening in Mary's mind and heart in this moment. I mean, clearly she's confused even by the angel's greeting to her, and she doesn't understand this situation. She doesn't understand, how could I possibly conceive a child since I've never had sex? And what is likely happening here in her mind, I would guess, is pure panic. Because an out-of-wedlock pregnancy at this time and in this culture meant doom for Mary. At best, what this meant is a life of poverty, probably with begging or maybe even prostitution ahead of her just so she could provide for this baby. That's the best case scenario out of an unplanned pregnancy that her fiance is not a part of. At worst, it could even mean her death. Think of the story from John 8 where the woman is caught in the act of adultery and she's dragged out by the religious leaders and brought before Jesus where they wanted to stone her to death because of her sin. If Joseph, Mary's fiance, had wanted to go that direction with this situation, Mary could have found herself in a very similar situation. So imagine this teenage young woman's mind in this moment. Like, what is Joseph going to think? What is my family going to think? What is my community going to think? Mary didn't understand any of this, and she had everything to lose in this moment. Yet, as we're going to see, she's going to choose obedience to God's plan anyways. Here's the first thing I want us to learn together tonight. Write this down in your bulletin. Don't let a lack of understanding keep you from obedience. When you have this moment that God brings you to, this opportunity to respond to him, don't let a lack of understanding about the situation keep you from obedience. Fusion, God is going to call you to do some things in your life. Sometimes they will be difficult things. Sometimes they will be things that you do not understand. Sometimes your family won't understand. Sometimes your community won't understand. A lot of the time, the culture that we live in will not understand what God is going to call you to. But it's so important that we get to the place where we don't need to understand everything in order to be obedient to God. That's right. I remember being 17 years old when I had my first, what I would consider my first real girlfriend. And I was crazy about this girl. We had a, that summer, we had a summer camp romance. Shout out to all the summer camp romances out there. I was notorious for every year at summer camp having a summer camp romance. They all stopped after like, you know, 2 weeks or, you know, of letter. We used to write letters back then. That's how old I am. But this one continued. It set, you know, a new record. And it continued beyond the 2 weeks after camp. And after dating her for a few months, and I was really crazy about her, I really felt like the Lord was telling me I needed to break up with her. And I did not want to. I couldn't understand why I had zero peace when it came to my relationship with her. I wanted to be with her, but God, he would not let me sleep. Because he was just so heavy, putting it on my heart that I needed to end this relationship with her. So in a moment of courage, I did it. I broke up with her. And she didn't understand why, and I had a hard time explaining it, but I knew I had to be obedient to what God had called me to do. 5 days later, I completely panicked. I called her up. I said, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I want to get back together. And we got back together. I just completely caved. 3 days after that, she and I crossed a line physically with each other that I would never be able to uncross. And that has, I've had to deal with that for the rest of my life. Now, of course, God has grace and forgiveness for me, and he's allowed me to move past that decision. But I experienced in that moment, I realized all of a sudden, oh, God was trying to save me from this by telling me to break up with her. He could see where we were heading with each other. And by his grace and his love for me and his grace and his love for her, he led me to do something I didn't understand. I just wish I had stayed faithful and obedient to what he had called me to. Fusion, when God calls you to something, when he calls you to end something, when he calls you to start something, to quit something, to give something, don't let a lack of understanding about the situation stop you from obeying him. I'm so glad that Mary didn't need to know the whole plan in order to obey God. Reading on in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary didn't know the whole story or the whole plan, but she trusted in God's goodness and in his power. And even with questions and fears, she believed God. Here's the second thing I want us to note. Number two, let your hope speak louder than your questions. When God calls you to something, when you have a God moment, let your hope speak louder than your questions. See, Mary had every reason to keep that angel in that room and to ask him every single question she was wondering, which I bet were probably a lot of questions. Like, okay, but how am I going to get pregnant? And are you going to tell Joseph about this? Because I don't think he's going to believe me when I tell him an angel told me I was just going to get pregnant. And what do you mean my child is going to sit on David's throne? And what does it mean that this kid's going to be the Son of God? And also, hey, one question, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me? Don't you know this wasn't my plan? Like, this wasn't on my bingo card for this year. And I'm sure with all of these questions and a million more swimming through her head, she chooses to place her hope in God. "See, I am the Lord's servant," she says. "Let it be. May it be done unto me as you have said." You see, when we place our hope in God, suddenly we don't need all of our questions to be answered anymore. Because we've placed our trust and our hope in the one who makes the plan. It's so important that we remember that we don't hope in hope. We don't hope for the best. We hope in God, in the one who makes the plan, in the one who does the miracles, in the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We hope in the one who works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And when you hope in that God, suddenly our questions, they seem so small. And our worries, they seem so small. And our doubts fade because of the one in whom we hope. It doesn't mean that all of our questions, all of our worries, or all of our doubts vanish in an instant. It just means they're put in the right perspective. And suddenly we realize the God that I'm hoping in is big enough that I don't have to have all of this settled before I obey. Reading on in verse 39, it says, "In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her.'" Look, I'm not big on life verses, but if verse 45 isn't a life verse, I don't know what is. And you guys were awfully quiet on that, but that verse deserves an amen if I'm totally honest with you, right? Like, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Mary trusted and hoped in God, and she was obedient to his plan for her, even though it made no sense, even though it was fraught with peril for her. And as a result, she was blessed. And her cousin Elizabeth was blessed as well. She enters Elizabeth's house, and the baby leaps inside of Elizabeth. This baby, who happens to be a guy that we'll know named John the Baptist, leaps with joy. And Elizabeth is instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediate blessings on Mary and on those around her. Not to mention the blessing that the whole world would receive through the life, death, and resurrection of that baby Mary was carrying. Here's our third point tonight. Number three, there is blessing waiting on the other side of obedience. There is blessing waiting for us on the other side of obedience. Can we be honest for a minute? We all want to be blessed, right? Anybody out there like to be blessed? Anybody? Okay, great. Yeah, a few hands. The rest of you, come on, be serious. Like, yeah, we want to be blessed. And that's not a bad thing. This isn't some prosperity gospel. This is the human condition and our need and our desire to be blessed. When Jacob wrestled with God in the book of Genesis, it says that he refused to let go of God until God blessed him. He clung to him and said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. There's something right about wanting God to bless us, and that is okay. The thing is, too often we want the blessing without the obedience. We want the blessing that comes from a godly marriage. We want the blessings that come from having a spouse who also loves and follows Jesus, that you can trust and that you can believe the best about them, and you can trust God's work in them, and you can raise his family that follows Jesus together. You want that blessing, but we don't want to be obedient to God when it comes to who we date, the kinds of people that we date, how we behave in these relationships. We want financial blessing. Hello, absolutely. We want financial blessing, but we don't want to be obedient and tithe. We don't want to be obedient and act responsibly with our finances. We don't want to be obedient and trust God with what he's already trusted us with. We want the blessing of God's word in our lives, but we don't want to be obedient and read it and study and memorize it to do the hard work to get it into our hearts and minds. We just like the blessing from it. I believe scripture teaches us, and my life has demonstrated time and time again, that blessing is waiting for us on the other side of obedience. Do you want God to bless you? Then how is he calling you to obey him tonight? Mary was obedient, and blessing followed her in her life. Now, don't get me wrong. Her life was not easy. She thought her son was insane at one point because of what Jesus was doing. She watched her son be hated by his own people. She watched her son die the worst death a person could possibly die, and she buried her baby boy. Life was hard at times for Mary, but Mary was blessed, and we are blessed because of Mary's obedience. If you want to see God's blessing in your life, learn to be obedient to God's word in your life. Right. I think the problem is we can't see the blessing on the other side. And so from where we stand, all we can think is, I don't think that obedience would be worth it. I don't think it'd be worth it to honor God with my sexuality because I can't have any picture for what it could be like on the other side. I can't picture the blessing that might come in my finances, so the obedience is just going to be too difficult for me. So I'm just going to maintain the status quo with how I handle my money or whatever it might be. But I have never obeyed God, been blessed, and then looked back and thought, man, that obedience wasn't worth it. I've never thought that. Skipping ahead about 30 years in the life of Jesus, we find a final passage about Mary for our time together tonight from the book of John, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, "They don't have any wine." "What has this concern of yours to do with me, woman?" You can tell Mary wasn't a Mexican mother because that chancla would have been coming off and like, phew. No, this wasn't as offensive as we read it in the English today. Culturally, this is actually okay for Jesus to say, but what does it have to do with me? Jesus asked her. "My hour has not yet come. It's not time for my ministry to begin." I love Mary. She doesn't even, such a mom, man. She hears this response from him. Look at what she said. She doesn't even respond to Jesus. What does she do? She turns to the servants. "Do whatever he tells you," his mother told the servants. "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus then does the miracle of turning water to wine. And we read in verse 9, "When the head waiter tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from, even though the servants who had drawn the water knew. He called the groom and told him, 'Everyone sets out the fine wine first, then after people are drunk, the inferior, but you have kept the fine wine until now.'" Notice obedience on the servant's part, blessing that follows. Here's the final thing I want us to learn from Mary together tonight. Number 4, write this down. There is no higher priority than what Jesus calls us to. There is no higher priority than what Jesus calls us to. Tommy, you can come and join me up here as well. Do whatever he tells you to do. Again, maybe this should be a life verse for us. If there's one thing that I wish young adults in this culture today would grab onto, it's this reality and it's this statement. Do whatever he tells you to do. I know our culture is twisted up. I know things are confused. I know there's a ton of messages out there. I know we are pulled and pushed in a million directions. And in the middle of all of that chaos, what I encourage for us is to do whatever he tells us to do. Specifically, do whatever he has told you to do from his word. Because the truth is, there is nothing more important in our lives than what Jesus calls us to. The money that we could make doing something else cannot compare to the importance of Jesus' call on our lives. The relationships that we want to be in our lives cannot compare to what Jesus calls us to be and to have relationally. The drugs that we want to do, the things we want to do to numb the pain cannot compare to the peace and the healing that Jesus will bring us through obedience and trust in him. The addictions that we want to give into, the satisfaction we think we'll find if we go back just one more time cannot compare to the satisfaction and peace that Jesus will bring us in our lives when we do what he tells us to do. The job that we would prefer to work at cannot compare to what Jesus has for us and is waiting for us in the places he is calling and sending us to. Both the good and the bad that we want for ourselves cannot compare with the things Jesus has planned and has called us to. The image that we may want to maintain cannot compare with Jesus' call on our lives to share the gospel with the world in which we live. Mary knew that the most important thing in the world was that people do what her son told them to do. And those people saw a miracle that night. I have never regretted doing what Jesus called me to. Yeah, it's led me to sacrifice at times. Yes, it's caused me to miss out on some experiences sometimes, but it has never led me astray. I have never regretted doing what Jesus calls me to do. On the other hand, all of my biggest regrets were times when I refused to do what Jesus was calling me to do. When I decided that I get to decide for myself, all of my regrets, if we saw them all up on the screen, and thank God you won't see them all, but if we saw them all, every single one of them would be a situation where I ignored what Jesus called me to do, and I decided I get to be my own boss. I decided I get to be in charge. But as we prepare to close tonight, I want to ask you to actually bow your heads with me and reflect for a moment. Mary had this moment with God. This moment where God spoke something to her that was difficult, where he called her to something that looked very uncertain to her, where she knew this thing could cost me. I can't control all the variables in this situation. I don't know how this is going to end. And yet in that moment, she trusted and she obeyed, even though what God was calling her to was going to be difficult and maybe even scary. Let me just ask you, is God calling you to something tonight? Could be something big, could be something scary. It could just be a simple act of obedience that you have been putting off because you don't know how it'll end up, because you're not totally sure you can trust God in this situation. What is God calling you? Are you having a God moment right now? Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. God, if there's a place in our lives that you're calling us to obey, to trust you, to give up something, to start something, to let go of something, God, I pray that you would help us to recognize this God moment that you've brought us to. With your heads bowed, let me just ask you, is there a place where your lack of understanding is keeping you from obeying God? You don't understand why he's calling you to this. You don't understand how this is going to work out. You can't see the end of it, and so you're struggling to obey. Would you ask him now, in your own words, in your own way, ask him to help you obey, even if you don't understand? Is there a place where your questions are louder than your hope right now? You want to hope in God. You want to trust in God, but the questions just seem so big. Your doubts just seem so big. The uncertainty of all of this just seems so big. Ask him to help you to hope in him tonight. Hope in the promises that he has made for you. Hope in the strength he will provide for you. Hope in the love and the grace that he has for you. Is there a place where you are hoping for a blessing tonight, but you know it's going to require obedience? God, would you help us obey you? Lord, we want to be blessed, but we know that blessing follows obedience. So teach us to obey you. And finally, let me just ask, have you made Jesus' call on your life the highest priority in your life? Or if you're honest, as you reflect, are there other voices, other calls, other things in your life that are taking priority for you? Lord, I pray that as we prepare to worship you together and end our time, God, I pray that we would hear the words of Mary tonight. Do whatever he tells you to do. Fusion, whatever God's putting on your heart tonight, whatever hard thing, whatever difficult thing it may be, whatever scary thing it may be, whatever journey you need to begin, whatever thing you need to give up, whatever it is, do whatever he tells you to do, because he will never lead you astray. His love and his grace and his mercy and his power is available and ready to help us as we obey him, as we say yes to his word and his will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Fusion, would you stand as we worship together?